on Sunday evenings with a video series with Ray Vanderlaan, and actually this text came to me kind of as what's coming up and what we have been studying together. And I wanted to share it with you this morning. And I don't know how many times in your life you've had some kind of a distraction and later realized that that distraction might have been purposeful. That maybe the result of that distraction might be something actually kind of powerful. You know, I'm not going to read any of these this morning, but I was just going back to, and all of us who are old enough to remember 9/11 and some of the stories that came about because of that. I mean, Twin Towers that normally would have had maybe 12 to 15 to 20 to 30, 40,000 people in the towers, and on that particular day, and I know it's horrible, there were 3,000 lives lost, about 3,000. It could have been many fold more than that. And you look at some of the stories of some people that were supposed to maybe be in the tower that day, and for whatever reason, because of a distraction of some sort or something happened that they didn't really look at it initially and think this is what they wanted to happen, but it avoided them being at the Twin Towers. What I'm not wanting to share with you this morning, because some of you say, yeah, but what about those who died in the Twin Towers? Dana alluded to that this morning when she said, you know, not all of our ills are healed. Not all the things that we want to happen, but God oftentimes does work in some very mysterious and powerful kinds of ways to acknowledge that and to recognize that in our lives. I can remember when I was a teenager, a distraction that happened to me that I don't know, it might have saved my life. I'm not sure. I was a part of a youth group in northern part of Rudyard. It was Christian Reformed territory for some of you who are from the Christian Reformed tradition. I went to church, the Methodist church in Pickford, but I wanted to, in my late teen years, I wanted to go to a youth group that was in Rudyard because I wanted to get to know some of the Christians in the Rudyard area. So I was going to this youth group. And I would sometimes ride with two other kids from Pickford that went to the Rudyard church. I didn't for this particular night. I don't know if it's because I was just late. I can't remember the details. It really doesn't matter at this point, but I didn't ride with them. Well, long story short, I rode myself. I came back a little bit early from youth group, and the two kids that I was to ride with came home a little later, and they were hit by a train. The very railroad tracks that I crossed about 5 minutes before, and they were both instantly killed. I thought if I was with them, maybe, I don't know. I praise God, these were two Christian young men and Christian young lady, and they went home to be with Jesus. But nonetheless, you look at those things, and I look at that, and I say it might have been a distraction. I wish I'd ridden with them, you know, because it was kind of cool to ride with others in the group, but I didn't. I drove myself. So I just look at that and say, sometimes, folks, when we look at life, maybe we can look at distractions. Sometimes those distractions might be the main thing. Can you imagine being a disciple when Jesus was walking the earth? Hey, Jesus, there's a blind man over there. Go do your thing. Or this person over here that can't walk, go heal that one. Or this demon-possessed man, I saw you do it earlier, why don't you do it over here? Can you imagine being a disciple and then thinking, God, you know, Jesus, do all these things because it's really cool when you do it. Because it kind of makes us look good too, because we're your followers. But can you imagine being a disciple of Jesus during those 3 years of public ministry on the earth? The things that you experienced were amazing. And yet the disciples were oftentimes irked that people would dare bother Jesus when he was on his way to doing something, to do something else. And they pretty much told folks sometimes, you know, leave him alone. He's going somewhere. That's exactly what's going on in the text here this morning that we read. The main attraction we didn't read about, we started with it, but the rest of the story is after the text was over this morning, about what Jesus actually did. The main thing was he was heading over to Jairus' house, and his daughter had since died along the way, and someone came to tell Jairus, "Hey, it's kind of late. She's dead. Don't bother." But the rest of the story we know, as Paul Harvey used to say, she was dead, but Jesus said, "Nah, really, she's just going to sleep." They're laughing at him because there were people out there mourning the death of this daughter, and Jesus and Peter and James and John, and the parents go into the room, and he puts his hand out, and the daughter gets up off the bed. She's alive. That's the main thing, because that's where Jesus was heading when this whole thing took place, starting with verse 40. That was the main thing. That's where he was going. But something happened during the interim. The main attraction was what everyone was looking towards. The crowds were gathered there. They saw what was going on. They were heading in this direction. And yet here, an interruption took place. A distraction took place. There was this woman who for years had been bleeding and it would not stop. And she just wanted to get close enough to Jesus. If she could just touch the hem of his garment, then perhaps Jesus would heal her. She didn't want to bug Jesus because she knew she was a distraction. At least she thought she was. She didn't want to bug Jesus because he was on his way to do something that perhaps in her eyes was more important than what was going on with her. But she knew this one, this Jesus, who had been around and talking and preaching and healing and all that sort of thing. There's something special about this one. And so if I could just touch him, just touch the hem of his garment, perhaps he would heal. Peter and the disciples are a bit annoyed by the distraction. But I think there was a lesson that was needed to be learned by the disciples, maybe for Jairus too. Think about it here for a moment, if you would. They're on their way over. They're on their way over to this home where their daughter is dying, and now, because of the report that came to them, she is dead. And Jesus is interrupted by this lady who had been bleeding for years. And he heals her. And he says to that woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Was there perhaps a lesson before they were going to go over to Jairus' house that what you need to do here is just trust me? This lady trusted that if she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that Jesus would perhaps heal her. The issue here, I don't think, is so much the healing oftentimes as it is the trusting. What happened right after she was healed? Immediately after she was healed, they get word that Jairus' daughter died. What they had just learned is as a lady who said, "If I could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that he would heal me." They just saw that happen. In the midst of all that was going on here, this distraction that took place, they saw what just happened there. She was healed. She just trusted Jesus. "Even if I don't have to have his attention, I just want to touch him because I know he can do whatever it is I ask of him. I know he can do it. I've seen him do it." And he did it. When we look at this, if you want to look at it from a human perspective, the disciples at this point in time might have even been upset because this distraction may have delayed it enough that this daughter died because Jesus was distracted by this woman who was being healed of the bleeding she had for those many years. I can imagine some of the disciples maybe being a little bit ticked. Why would you bother with this woman? Because this man asked you to do something and you didn't get there yet. I can imagine. It doesn't say that in the text. I'm just throwing something in there as a possibility here. But I still think in all of this that the main thing here isn't the healing. It's the trusting. That interruption allowed another lesson in faith. Trust Jesus even when it seems hopeless. And they learned the lesson with this woman, and now they're going to learn it again when this young gal is brought back from death. The reason why I don't think it's the healing that is the most important thing is because of what Jesus says at the end of not the text that we just read, but the furthering of this text when it talks about Jairus' daughter. He says to them, don't tell anyone what had happened. Why did he say that? What do you mean don't tell anyone what just happened? She was dead, now she's alive. You want us to not say to people what just happened? I mean, come on, folks. If you and I were there, we'd be like, woo-hoo-hoo! Just wait till I go home and tell whoever and whatever and all that sort of stuff. It would be on Facebook instantly. And Instagram and TikTok and all the other ones. Wouldn't it? But he says, don't tell anyone. Why did he say that? Here's what I surmise is my opinion of this, because the scripture doesn't actually tell us exactly why he said this. But I'm wondering if this might be the case. Why did Jesus tell the folks to not tell anyone? I believe he didn't want folks to miss the point. It wasn't that Jesus brought the girl to life, but it was to trust him. It was that journey to the house where a lot of things were going on. It was that woman who touched the hem of his garment that was teaching those who were there in that crowd along with, and he interacted with her. Your faith has healed you. You trusted me. But see, the problem with that is so many people look at the healing and not at the trust thing. And as Dana pointed out when she read the scriptures, he doesn't always do what we want him to do. He doesn't always heal the way we want him to heal. Things don't always, but what God does want us to do in the midst of all of that is to trust him. Even when things don't go the way we wished they would have gone. I think he was telling them, don't tell anyone what was happening, because in so doing, you'll probably miss the point. Most people would focus on the healing and not the trusting. Jesus didn't heal everyone who asked. An example of that is Paul himself when he had that thorn in the flesh. And he pleaded with God 3 times, please, God, take it away. God didn't. Paul had faith. Wasn't it God Paul didn't trust? Because in the end, what did he say? You know, I've learned something. His grace is sufficient as I go through it, whatever it is. And then he said something else. He says, you know, and not just that, his grace is sufficient. I'm learning something else here, that when I'm weak, and whatever it is that's going on in my life right now that God has chosen not to correct or make better, when I'm weak, I'm realizing something. I have to trust in him. When I'm weak, I'm strong. You see, the strength doesn't come from me. It comes from him. And I'm learning to trust him in that. That's what Paul was learning. That's what Jesus was trying to teach the crowds that were gathered there and the disciples that were gathered there. It's not the healing that's the most important thing there. It was trusting him to do what he's going to do. I think he's also trying to help us understand, you know, what the next step is in his hands. We trust him. He'll always be trustworthy. Interruptions and distractions may be the real faith builders, not the main event. It may be that the distractions in your life and the distractions in my life are really the most important thing. Lessons learned. Character building. Perseverance. All of us want the healing, don't we? All of us want the healing. There's not a single one here that doesn't want the healing. And I have something I want to share with you that I believe is 100% true. For believers, that will always happen in the end. I want you to get that. For believers, that will always happen in the end. Sometimes it happens in the interim too. But for believers, it will always happen in the end. Chew on that for a minute. The most important healing anyway is spiritual healing, not physical. These interruptions and these distractions along the way are meant to help us to trust Him more. And I believe they do. In my own life, and some of the things I've been through, which is different than the things that you've been through, these things, these distractions, these interruptions, these unpleasantries, these things we don't want to happen that do happen, and all these kinds of things, what it has done for me, it has actually caused me to trust Him more, not less. There are two ways you can go with that. And I realize that. Some people will drift away from God when things happen in their life that they don't understand. I think it's because they haven't allowed that distraction, that interruption, to teach the lesson that God wants us to learn, which is trust Him no matter what. Two verses that I'll end with here, because I think Scripture says it better than I can. And it's this, Proverbs 16:4, which was read this morning. The Lord works out everything for His own ends. Read that again. The Lord works out everything for His own ends. So we just need to trust Him. The second is James chapter 1. Verses 2 and following. And I'll be skipping a few words in here, but it says, Consider it pure joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. These testings develop perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature and complete. So, the distractions might be the main thing. Not the main thing. So I encourage you and me as we walk this journey in life, go to God with our requests for healing. He wants us to. Sometimes healing doesn't come in the way we want it, or in the timing we would like, or in the form that we would like. What God is trying to teach you and I as believers in Jesus Christ through all of that is, just trust me. That's it. Just trust me. I think that's what He wants. Just trust me. Let's pray. Those three words, just trust me, God, are hard words sometimes. Sometimes it seems like life is just unraveling, that things are not going in the way we want them to go, either at our own little personal level or even at the big picture level. And we wonder. It's hard. God, You're calling us to trust You. To trust You. Help us, God, to realize that a lot of these distractions are what You're really wanting to use for us to trust You. Help us to be like Paul. Even when things were not going well, he said, Your grace was sufficient. And when I am weak, then I am strong. Help us to know that You work out everything for Your own ends, and we are Your children. Because we are children, You have our best interest in mind, even though the interim and the interruptions don't sometimes seem to paint that picture. We'll trust You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close, let's sing Make Thee a Blessing, 452. As you are able to stand with me, would you do so? Also on the screen.